he was quite savagery. I can't describe it any other way. Savagery is the word that I would use. To the point that he had me pulled in such a way that my left leg had been stretched beyond balance. So I was precariously trying to manage on my right leg, and thankful that the railing was there, because I was literally hanging onto the railing as the dog was pulling my leg. He wanted me on the ground.
How did it end up? Did the man with you help?
Yes, I was, I'd say they heard me roaring in Ballineety, to be honest with you. The incident happened between Ballineety and Fetimore in an area called Ballinagard. And my husband had been driving us, so he was a couple of houses down the road. So I was so loud, he heard me in the car. So he came back in the car, and as he was coming back, the gentleman that was with me, now this won't go down well with the animal welfare supporters, and I completely understand why, but the only way to get that dog off me was to kick him off me. And he kicked and he kicked and he kicked. Only for him, I don't know what would have happened.
Now, subsequent to all of this, the dog in question was destroyed.
Yeah.
What about your injuries? Did they require hospital treatment?
Yeah, so at the time, actually, I took an awful lot of slack for this on social media, and I just want to address that now if I can. My injuries were very deep, number one. And the dog had regurgitated into my wound, and it was very visible that he had done that. So I knew Shannon Doc or an out-of-hours doctor was not the answer to my problem. I had to go to A&E.
Because of the risk of infection?
Correct.
Given people a commitment that this was their last term, I think that's something to be quite honest about it.
Well, hang on a minute.
That's a comment that should be withdrawn.
Possibly.
But I think Marion has to put for election and put
Richard didn't name anyone. Are we going to spend the entire interview with you harking back to what Richard O'Donoghue said? I'm asking you, what will the government do for Orange Area? You're still in government and you're likely to be in government again.
And I told you, but if you choose not to listen, that's
no, no, what, no. Sorry, Minister. I am listening. Excuse me now for a moment. It's not going to be just a complete political broadcast either. I'm asking a specific question.
And I'm answering. If you leave me, take a breath. On the one hand, everything Matthieran is saying is wrong, even though they're physicists and meteorologists.
You're still talking about the person who was on before. I'm asking you, what are the government going to do now?
On the other hand, the government are wrong. And on the other hand, the regional independents, which are, look, they're only...
Can you answer the specific question? I mean, what will the government do? Look, there's no point continuing the interview, Minister, unless you're going to give me some sense of what the government's going to do now.
Well, can I ask you a question? In the course of the last interview, did you ever ask the question, where did you get the notion that all the regional independents were going to bail out?
But I didn't
hear that question being asked.
Right. So now you're criticising me, but I'm asking you about...
I'm just asking you.
But with respect, I'm not a minister in the government. You are. So can you give us some indication as to what the government is going to do for the Orange Area from this point forward? Which I think, in fairness, is an entirely legitimate line of questioning to you as a cabinet minister.
I don't know if you heard it or not, because you were doing so much shouting at me.
Limerick tattoo artist Buddy Maloney with me at drawing us a picture of a different kind of mammy coming in with the strapping 25-year-old who wants King John's castle all over his back, and mammy standing there going, no, I don't want you to do that. Be careful, Buddy. I mean, come on. Oh, God. All right.
Joe, this is the reality. All I'm doing is drawing off of my experience, and this is not a rare occurrence. This is regular.
And what do you say to the mother in that situation?
Well, you see, this is the thing, and it's very uncomfortable. The conversation becomes between me and the parent and the man-child who's afraid to speak up for themselves or for whatever reason. It all becomes about reassuring the mother that, look, we'll take care of it, you know, and, you know, we just try to handle it as best as we can. Inside, I want to say something else, but at the end of the day, we're running the business and our job is...
And does the adult son...
The night before brain surgery, my parents had just left Cork to go back to Limerick. And I was just bored, Joe, in bed, so I said I'd download Tinder. So I went on Tinder anyway, and I matched with this lady, and I explained my situation to her. So she came over and visited the hospital, and we walked around the hospital for about 2 hours. And, kind of just killed time. But don't get me wrong, a lovely lady now, a lovely lady, but it didn't go anywhere. But, if you had told me that was type 4 brain surgery, I'd be out in a day. I would have laughed at you. I'm still kind of laughing at it.
Right. And what about seizures? Have you had them since?
Yeah, I have, Joe. I've had, since the initial seizure, I've had three other seizures. One was actually, my mates were bringing me out for a dinner on the day of my birthday, on the 3rd of January, and one of them collected me, because I'm not allowed to drive because of the seizures, and I actually had a seizure in the car beside him. And then there was another time where I was travelling down on the train, and I had a third one. And then the fourth one was about 6 weeks ago. I was in the middle of a gym class, and I had a seizure in the gym class and was brought back to hospital. So basically my anti-seizure medication has been changed and increased. So,
And do you have any awareness of the seizures yourself, and how do other people react? What do they tell you they're like?
There's a huge communications issue here about how do actually the agencies that are working in Limerick communicate with each other and make sure that they have a coordinated message and as much information as they need before these things get released in the public. Because errors will happen, as we've seen, and it sounds like it's a technical error, but I'm not going to say that on air because it's up to Irish Water to tell us.
Well, indeed, and we're trying to get someone from Irish Water to come on here and explain exactly which areas.
I think May is probably.
Want to ask you, Dr. May Mannix, Regional Director of Public Health. I mean, the statement says that the HSE was consulted on this. Were you?
We were. I suppose it arose late yesterday evening that we were contacted by our environmental health colleagues and public health on call. That's our understanding of the situation as well. There was a problem with a chlorine pump in a reservoir in Newcastle as of last night, and this morning we hadn't official confirmation from Irish Water that a boil water notice had been put on, but I've been getting missed calls, sorry, while I'm sitting here, so that's as much information as we have.
Right, it's called live radio. So what is the public health advice then, in general, on something like this?
In general, well, we have to advise the public to adhere to the boil water notice while it's still in place. Hopefully this will be a short-term thing. My understanding is the pumps have been fixed, so hopefully it's very short-term.
Okay. So the advice that we did get in the statement from Ishke Aaron is that water must be boiled, rolling boil for 1 minute and then cooled for drinking, preparing drinks made with water, preparation of salads and similar foods which are not cooked prior to eating. Guess what? A lot of that will be going on in the weather that we have at the moment. Brushing of teeth and or gargling and making of ice. However, ensure you first discard all existing ice cubes in fridges and freezers and filtered water in fridges. I can only imagine the amount of sales of water happening in shops around Limerick City and suburbs this morning because the difficulty is, and you've just heard the mayor make the point, we don't know much more and we're not certain as to how long this is going to last, because the statement says it is not yet known how long the notice will last. But Ishke Aaron and Limerick Council, Mayor, you'll be glad to know, is included here, will continue to liaise and consult with the Health Service Executive with a view to lifting the boil water notice as soon as practicable. What's your response to that?
Well, I know we're consulting because there's a team of people came in this morning. I think we've all brushed our teeth this morning, so we were as much in the dark as everyone else. And they're clearly on the case. But I mean, it's a matter of communication. I mean, I don't want to be overly critical of another agency, but I think,
Anthony, your fans are coming out here hugely. Anthony is the nicest taxi driver in Limerick. His vehicle is immaculate. Anytime I get into it, there you are. Can you answer one question for me? Because I got into a taxi, not yours, recently, and driver drove off, and we weren't that long, and I said to him, "Oh, I've no cash, but of course you take the tap." "Oh no, I don't." I said, "No, no." "Well, yes, you're." I said, "Hang on a minute now. You're legally obliged to take.
Yes, you're right there, Joe.
But it wasn't much use to me, because he said, I can't do it. And I said, well, what do you mean you can't do it? You were legally obliged. So then, of course, he did the classic thing. He produced the white thing. What's it called? The thing that you tap
sum up machine.
Thank you. The sum up machine. And he showed it to me. He said, you can see there, it's not working. No, honestly. He took me to an ATM. I had to get out.
Yeah.
I had to get the cash, because we were halfway down the road at that stage. I didn't have any choice. He had to be paid. And, you know, luckily enough, I was able to get enough out of the ATM to pay him.
Yeah. And then, plus, Joe, you paid more as well for him to go to the ATM, by the way. The meter should have been still running.
That's a very good point, because it took me a while. There was a queue. Yeah, that's a great point.
Well,
can I complain that guy or what?
You can go to the National Transport Authority there, Joe, about it.
Yeah, it's a few weeks ago. I probably won't bother now at this point, but it's interesting to know that.
Plus, Joe, if he doesn't have the machine, isn't working, you can go into your phone. He naturally has to have a phone linked to that and an app linked to that machine. And if the machine isn't working, he can open up the app there and take a call of virtual payments.
And why was he so mad for me to pay in cash, do you think? I know, we won't speculate. We won't.
You're at home with your tiny baby and your perfect, beautiful child. And I got a phone call, and it was the nurse from the paediatric cystic fibrosis unit in Limerick. It was Noelle, and she is, oh my God, I could have her live with me. If anyone has met Noelle, they'd know she is just a beautiful, beautiful person, and she made the whole thing so much easier. But anyway, she rang and she said that she was the nurse in UHL. And she was just ringing about the results from the heel prick test. And my stomach dropped, because I just knew. I knew as soon as they said heel prick, because I was aware that cystic fibrosis was one of the things that were checked. And my stomach had a feeling. And she kept talking and my world collapsed.
Yeah.
Because like that, you're at home and you're just settling into your new baby. We had two other boys at home who are older, and it was just a horrific time. Now, what we had to do was I had to ring my partner then and tell him, and we had to wait till the following day. Now, thankfully, it was the following day. You don't have to wait a number of weeks. You go into the hospital, you get what's called a sweat chloride test. So they test the sweat. So the heel prick comes back. Now, I was in complete denial. My partner, Paul, he was like, look, I think we maybe should be thinking that she possibly does. And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
No way. So for that 24 hours or even a bit longer till the following day, I was like, no way, she's fine, she doesn't have it, no, I am not doing this. And lo and behold, we got the results, I think about 20 minutes after she got the sweat test done, and she had CF. Again, my world completely fell apart.
So we have businesswoman Valerie Murphy, we've Nick Rabbits from the Limerick Leader, and former councillor and mayor John Gilligan with us in the studio. And I know, I can even hear our producer Amory thinking, do not ask John Gilligan about this. But you're here and I feel I should answer. Why wouldn't I? I mean, you know, long time councillor, former mayor of this great place. How do you, as a kind of a neutral enough observer now, not in elected politics anymore, how do you feel our new structures are going in local government, John?
I don't think they've been given a chance. First of all, I agree, you know, there should be a directly elected mayor, because I do think it focuses the mind and focuses somebody's mind, on a long-term strategy of Limerick, not just from year to year. But having done that, we've made a decision to do it. And I must say that I'm disappointed with the response of some of the councillors. You know, some of them are just, you know, they're cranks anyway, you know, no matter what you do or say. They're never going to do anything like that. You get more whinging in Limerick City Council than you do on the Joe Duffy Show.
My principal turned around and said, look, it's the consequences of being a first-year student, and, you know, you're you're prone to a first year beating. It was like an initiation, and that was appalling. Like, what kind of school, what kind of any, you know, person's well-being would actually let that happen, you know?
Yeah. And how long was it before it got to a point where you had to tell someone?
Well, I took a bit more of a few bits of beatings, let's say. It was literally the following week. I was making my way to class, and I remember trying to get through these double doors that was basically based in an old style building, and you'd have to go up steps. It was on the top floor. And every time I tried to go through these doors, the bullies that were doing the physical side of it, there was a group of two and three and four sometimes. And this was the biggest group at this particular stage. And when I was trying to get through these doors, you know, I was called all sorts of names as per usual, but my bag was taken off my back. My polo shirt was pulled up over my head, and I was pushed down the stairs that I had just come up.
You've been pushed down the stairs?
I was pushed down the stairs, yeah. So there were, it was an old building, so imagine hardcore floor and stairs, and I hit every step going down. And I remember looking down when I eventually realised what had just happened, and I seen that my wrist to my elbow had a big gash, and it was pumping up blood.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you were lucky you weren't killed.
Well, exactly, Joe. Yeah, if I hit my head wrong, that was the end of me. Like, and I just remember looking up at these bullies, and there was no remorse, there was nothing. They were just laughing and skitting.
This is not an issue that I will be whipped on. This is the most important issue on my agenda, and should be the most important issue for every politician across the
Limerick. So you're being independent.
No, I'm telling you.
That's a very strong. So
it
you're saying that if you're elected,
it's a red line issue for me.
If you're elected to government, and votes come up around this, you will not accept the Fianna Fáil whip.
If votes come up around this issue that are not in favour of the people of Limerick, I absolutely will not support it. I absolutely will not support it.
Well, you're going to have to explain what you mean by that. Maybe I'm happy to now, Joe.
That my party have put it into their manifesto that the HICWA report on ED capacity for the region, which will make the decision about do we extend NINA, do we extend Ennis, do we extend UHL, or do we build a new Model 3 hospital? In my view, it should be a new Model 3 hospital, motorway connected.
Annie, we've had thousands of guests in this studio, and you were the very first to have noticed that poster.
Well, if Aoife is pregnant, if Aoife has high blood pressure and she's 33, you know, she needs to look at our webpage, or maybe her mum does.
Dr. Susan Connolly, I mean, like, I'm a desperate moaner, you know. Oh, if I get a stub, oh my God, I'm dying! Oh no! Take me away! But does that help in this situation?
Well, look, we see a lot of chest pain in A&E, or the emergency department. The vast majority of it is not the patient's fault. But how are they supposed to know that? That's our job, you know?
Yeah.
So come in and we'll assess you. We can do the blood test. We take your story. We listen to you. We do the heart trace. And then we can help. We can decide if it's your heart or not. Don't be putting that pressure on yourself thinking, oh, I don't know if it's my heart. That's not your job. Come in and get yourself checked out.
Right. And I suppose it is worth pointing out, because we have to, in the Limerick context, that means the emergency department from time to time, and you will be treated quickly if it is something that is as pressing as that. You know, there is triage that takes place in the emergency department in Limerick, but it's triage for a reason. I'm sure the Social Democrats will contest that as well. No, I mean, there are other politicians that, you know, let's focus on what you guys have done and will do.
But that's a published fact, George. It's entitled.
You either want to debate or you want to chat. I mean, there's a political party in this state who has clearly said in their manifesto they want to abolish the Department of Further and Higher Education. That would send young apprentices hurtling backwards and all of the achievements that we've made over the last 10 years.
Don't turn your fire on me. I might get upset. I'm trying to moderate the debate.
You're looking for people to turn the dial.
I'm going to let you back in, Richard, but I'm sorry, no.
You have to take a break.
I do, and I'm going to let you straight back in afterwards on housing, I promise, okay? listener says, I had a parent approach me for a goodie bag for another child in the family who wouldn't be happy with her sibling coming home from a party with a goodie bag. Honestly, I laughed. Yeah. So goodie bag for the child at the party and another goodie bag for the child at home, says Sharon. Some parents need a good kick up the you-know-where, not the kids, the parents. But also you wonder if they already are on a sugar high from the party and then they arrive home with a goodie bag and they start stuffing their faces with that as well. So they wouldn't go to bed for 3 days. Another listener says, hate to break it to you, Joe, but when you get to secondary school, it's not the goodie bag or the price of the birthday party. It's all the designer gear. The teens want to be up there with their peers. They look down their nose at a plain top. Ugh. You're wearing a plain top.